Go ahead and find your seats. Welcome to Pure Words Baptist Church. Let's go ahead and pull out our hymnals, and we'll open up to our first song for the evening. It'll be song number 169. Number 169, Come Thou Fount. Song number 169, Come Thou Fount. You guys find your place there. 169. First, come thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace, streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise, teach me some melodious sonnet, sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the mount I'm fixed upon it, mount of thy redeeming love. Here I raise mine Ebenezer, hither by thy help I'm come, and I know by thy good pleasure safely all arrive at home. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God. He to interposed his precious blood. Oh, to grace how great a debtor, daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness like a fetter bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to here's my heart, oh, take and seal it for thy courts above. Amen. Brother Brandon, you want to pray for us this evening? Amen. All right, let's go ahead and flip to song number 64. Song number 64, Shall We Gather at the River? Song number 64. First, Shall We Gather at the River? Gather with the saints at the river that flows by the throne of God. On the bosom of the river, where the Savior King we own, we shall meet in sorrow never, neath the glory of the throne. Yes, we'll gather at the gather with the saints at the river that flows by the throne of God. Ere we reach the shining river, lay
Yes, we'll gather at the river, the beautiful river. Gather with the saints at the river that flows by the throne of God. Soon we'll reach the shining river, soon our pilgrimage will cease. Soon our happy hearts will quiver with the melody of peace. Yes, we'll gather at the river, the beautiful river. Gather with the saints at the river that flows by the throne of God.
Great singing. So at this time, we'll go ahead and go over the announcements this evening. So go ahead and pull out your bulletins. If you didn't receive one, there might be some back there. If not, just go ahead and look on with someone next to you or just listen up. We do have our Bible memory passage and chapter on the front, Psalms chapter 47. If you could quote the entire chapter, all 9 verses, word perfect, you will receive a prize. At the end of that, we are in week 3, verse 3. On the inside, we have our service times, and beneath that are soul winning times with respective leaders. And we also have our stats listed. We had 4 salvations to report from this morning, Brother James. And then, did anybody get any this afternoon? I know we had that one, so we'll go ahead and add that to there. It was an interesting time out there soul winning. Man, we're soul warning. Had some interesting encounters, but definitely good job. Soul winning, keep up the good work. We have an expecting lady in the church, Sister Corinne Darnell. Be in prayer for her and the expecting one. And our upcoming guest preachers. Today, May 1st, we had Brother David Kiefer and his wife come out from Faithful Word Baptist Church. It's been a blessing having him. Had a great message for us this morning, so definitely shake his hand, shake his wife's hand. Thank them for coming out. And then on May 15th, we have Brother Ben Naim coming to preach both services for us. And then July 7th, we have Pastor Stephen Anderson coming to preach that midweek service on Thursday. So it's a blessing having all of these guys come fill the pulpit for us. Just definitely thank them every time they come out. And then the upcoming events, just right around the corner for Mother's Day, May 7th, we have that Mother's Day tea from 5 p.m. to 6:30. At the Four Friends Tea Room in Pearland, Texas. And I believe the RSVP date has already expired. But if you do want to go, there might be some room. Just definitely just let them know as soon as possible, and I'm sure they could kind of get you in there. So just try to get on that if you haven't RSVP'd. And then no boys allowed, all right? So only nurslings preferred. So men, watch the children. And then May 21st, is the Soul Winning Marathon in Austin, Texas. So definitely looking forward to that one. You know, I keep hearing people say we need to go make Austin normal. So that'll be a good event down there. So write that on your calendars. And then for our prayer requests, if you guys have any prayer requests, email that into the church at purewordsbaptist@gmail.com. No matter what it is, something for a job, something personal, health reasons, email that in for a relationship issue. email that in. And we'll definitely keep praying for you. We have Steadfast Baptist Church and Pastor Shelley listed. The Goodwin family, keep praying for them. Brother Edward, and specifically his feet. He did have a couple toes amputated, so pray for the healing of his feet. Miss Liberty's family member, Catherine, is battling cancer. Brother Joel, pray for him just for favor and blessings. And then Faithful Word Baptist Church. But again, if you have anything to add, email that into the church. But that is the announcements for the evening. Let's go ahead and pull our hymnals back out, and we'll open up to our third song. It'll be song number 187. I want all the kids to sing loud, Jesus Loves Me. 187, Jesus Loves Me.
Loves me.
this time, let's go ahead and pull out our Bibles and turn in your Bibles to Judges chapter 14. Judges chapter 14. We'll have Brother Jeff come read for us, and we'll go ahead and pass the offering plate.
Okay, so you're there in Judges 14. In Judges 14, the Bible reads in verse 1. And Samson went down to Timnah and saw a woman in Timnah of the daughters of the Philistines. He came up and told his father and his mother and said, I have seen a woman in Timnah of the daughters of the Philistines. Now therefore, get her for me to wife. And his father and his mother said unto him, Is there never a woman among the daughters of thy brethren or among all my people that thou goest to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistines? And Samson said unto his father, Get her for me, for she pleaseth me well. But his father and his mother knew not that it was of the Lord. They sought an occasion against the Philistines, for at that time the Philistines had dominion over Israel. Then went Samson down and his father and his mother to Timnah, and came to the vineyards of Timnah, and behold, a young lion roared against him. The Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he rent him as he would have rent a kid. He had nothing in his hand, but he told not his father or his mother what he had done. He went down and talked with the woman, and she pleased Samson well. And after a time he returned to take her, and he turned aside to see the carcass of the lion, and behold, there was a swarm of bees and honey in the carcass of the lion. And he took thereof in his hands and went on eating, and came to his father and mother, and he gave them, and they did eat. But he told them that he had taken the honey out of the carcass of the lion. So his father went down unto the woman, and Samson made there a feast, for so used the young men to do. It came to pass, when they saw him, that they brought 30 companions to be with him. And Samson said unto them, I will now put forth a riddle unto you. If ye can certainly declare me within the 7 days of the feast, and find it out, then I will give you 30 sheets and 30 change of garments. But if ye cannot declare it me, then shall ye give me 30 sheets and 30 change of garments. They said unto him, Put forth thy riddle, that we may hear it. He said unto them, Out of the eater came forth meat, and out of the strong came forth sweetness. And they could not in 3 days expound the riddle. It came to pass on the seventh day that they said unto Samson's wife, Entice thy husband, that he may declare unto us the riddle, lest we burn thee and thy father's house with fire. Have ye called us to take that we have? Is it not so? And Samson's wife wept before him and said, Thou dost but hate me and lovest me not. Thou hast put forth a riddle unto the children of my people, and hast not told it me. And he said unto her, Behold, I have told it not my father nor my mother, and shall I tell it thee? And she wept before him the 7 days, while their feast lasted. It came to pass on the seventh day that he told her, because she lay sore upon him. And she told the riddle to the children of her people. And the men of the city said unto him on the seventh day before the sun went down, What is sweeter than honey, and what is stronger than a lion? He said unto him, If ye had not plowed with my heifer, ye had not found out my riddle. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he went down to Ashkelon and slew 30 of them, and took their spoil, and gave change of garments unto them, which expounded the riddle. And his anger was kindled, and he came up to his father's house. Samson's wife was given to his companion, whom he had used as his friend. Let's all bow our heads for a quick word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, pray that you would fill Brother David Kiefer with your Spirit. Help him to preach a bold sermon for us, God. Help us to be better Christians, better soul winners. Take this sermon and apply it to our day-to-day lives. Be more serious and to just do more for the glory of you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray all this. Amen.
Right. Good afternoon, everybody. Thanks for having me again this afternoon. It's been really nice getting to know everybody here at the congregation, and I just want to thank Pastor Shelley for giving me this opportunity to preach for you guys. And it's truly a blessing to see like-minded believers in different states and all around the world who can all realize the importance of the service of God. And I hear some of you travel in far distances just to get to this church, and if people had zeal like you, then we would take over the world one soul at a time.
So let's go ahead and look down at the Bible. And I'm going to go ahead and start with the title of this message. The title of this message this afternoon is Samson's Riddle. Samson's Riddle is truly that. It is a riddle. And Samson himself is a character that we look to in the Bible who is riddling. He's puzzling. He is unique. He is different. A lot of people who study the Bible extensively look at characters like Samson, and they're very puzzled by his decision-making, what he does, his actions, his reasoning, and all these different things. But understand this. We know, as you know, Bible-believing Christians, that nothing in the Word of God is incidental, coincidental, or accidental. And I'm here to show you that there are so many deep layers to the Bible of symbolic truths that we can find in the Word of God that can illuminate ways to help us in our soul winning, which is how we apply the Word of God that we learn, right? Because it's not enough just to be a hearer of the Word, but a doer of the Word. I mean, I'm up here, you know, preaching the Bible, and your pastor and like-minded brothers and sisters will preach or proclaim deep spiritual truths, but it means nothing if we cannot apply them in our day-to-day life. But turn, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 11. And like I had said, Samson himself is a riddle, and I'll venture to say this, and I'll tell you guys this. In my opinion, Samson is a good, great, godly man. Yes, he makes mistakes. Yes, he makes a lot of mistakes. Yes, he keeps making mistakes. But raise your hand if that's you today. You make mistakes. I make mistakes. We all make mistakes. But praise God, he can use people like us and our fault and our problem and still be used, you know, greatly by God. Because, you know, other forms of writing, whenever you have a character in the Bible, or I'm sorry, in other forms of writing in books, they'll tentatively create hero complexes, and the hero can do no wrong, never has a mess up, never does anything bad. But the Bible is the Word of God and shows us human nature, that in us, the sinful nature, we are going to reflect doing wrong and bad things. Yet, we find Samson in the Great Hall of Faith, chapter found in Hebrews 11. Look down in your Bible, if you would, at Hebrews 11. This is a very famous passage in the Bible to explain to us these great godly characters in the Old Testament. And did you know that Samson is found in that passage? Look down, if you would, at Hebrews 11, 32. The Bible reads, "And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, and of Barak, and of who? Samson, and of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets." Now I'm going to pause there really quick. So we just went through a couple of different characters, right? One of which was Samson. Now we're going to go into attributes of these men. Why were they great? Why did they show great faith? What were things that we can attribute to those individuals and say, these are men of great faith? Well, let's see what the Bible says in verse 33. It reads, "Who through faith subdued kingdoms." Pause. Everything that is read here applies to all characters, but you'll find most of them apply to Samson. Didn't Samson subdue kingdoms? He took out the Philistines in that very monumental moment when he pushed the pillars. It says, "Wrought righteousness." Samson was known as a judge. Not only did he judge his people, but judges in the Bible are also known as deliverers. They will deliver the people from bondage, from these things. Also, it says, "Wrought righteousness, obtained promises," kind of like the promise made to the nation of Israel that if they would serve the Lord, that he would subdue their enemies. It says, "Stop the mouths of lions." Samson literally tore apart a lion physically. I'm not saying symbolically. I'm not saying metaphorically. Grabbed what I believe to be the mouth of a lion and ripped him in two. I'm not going to get graphic, but the Bible paints that picture very clearly. It says right there in 34, "Quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens." All that applies to Samson. One of my favorite part that it says, "out of weakness were made strong." Remember when he gets his hair cut, right? Because when he gets his hair cut, he loses his strength because he was supposed to be a Nazarene until the day of his death. That was the only character in the Bible we can point to that was told to be a Nazarite from his birth. And in doing so, when he got his hair cut, he lost his strength. But then it goes to say, out of weakness were made strong. Waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the enemy. Women received their dead, raised to life again. That didn't apply to Samson, but that's the truth. And others were tortured. Samson was tortured. They pulled his eye out. They mocked him and scourged him and made fun of him. The Philistine leaders, they that might obtain a, or not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trials of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonments. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report, a what? A good report. Through faith received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. The Bible is showing that Samson, and all the mistakes that he made, is a good, godly, great man that we can look to have someone who has great faith. You're not going to follow his bad examples. I don't want you to follow Abraham's bad examples. I don't want you to follow Lot's bad examples. I don't want you to follow King David's bad examples. God is going to emphasize the good that they did. And Samson, it's hard to find the good that he did, but it's there. And the New Testament tells us in the book of Hebrews that that is an attribute unique to Samson, that he was a man of great faith. Turn back, if you would, to Judges 14. I should add, you leave something there. But it says in Judges 14, we're going to go on and read some more. One of the biggest forms of Bible interpretation, actually is, in my opinion, the most important form of Bible interpretation, has to do with looking for the Lord Jesus Christ. We know as Bible-believing Christians, right, that when you're reading the Old Testament, if you want to know the right interpretation of the passage, look for Jesus. Raise your hand if you've ever seen that book, Where's Waldo? Any of you guys seen that book, Where's Waldo? I expect a lot of more of these kids to see it. It's a good book. I used to get in trouble a lot when I was a kid, and they'd stick me in a corner with Where's Waldo and say, go over there, deal with that. But the book basically is a book of a character named Waldo who's dressed in striped red and white. And as the book progresses in the beginning, it's a very easy way to find Waldo. It's tentatively and not a elaborate image, and he's standing in the center, just kind of like, hey, I'm right there. So they give you low-hanging fruit in the beginning. But as the book progresses, the images get more elaborate. There's more people. He's kind of tucked behind a wall. He's under a rock. He's behind someone and all these things. And it becomes harder and harder to find Waldo, even to the point, I don't know if you guys remember, but there was a book where at the very end, it says, find Waldo amongst Waldos. And it's just a page full of imposter Waldos, but you're looking for the one that's missing his sock, because that's like what they're saying is the real Waldo. So just like Where is Waldo, we need to look for the Lord Jesus Christ when we are reading his word, because he truly is the word made manifest. Elsewhere it says in John 1:1, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. And just like an artist likes to initial his painting, or a chef will put on his flair on his dish, the Lord Jesus Christ wants people to see him in his word. And this is why we can understand a true, deeper meaning of what the Bible is clearly showing us through finding where Jesus is. So Samson is that character that we can look to that actually, in ways, shows us more examples of the Lord Jesus Christ than any other Old Testament prophet, or even kings, for that matter. For instance, I'm going to show you a couple of parallels between Samson and the Lord Jesus Christ. For instance, of the men in the Bible that had the Holy Spirit bestowed upon them most often, it could arguably be said that it was Samson. Some speculate it was Saul, and it's kind of a toss-up between Saul, King Saul, and Samson. But no doubt, for sure, Samson, of the characters in the Old Testament, had the Holy Spirit put on him most often. Right here in this passage, we see it happening to him twice, that the Holy Spirit is put on him to go rip the lion up, and also to go take out the men of Ashkelon. So that's just one chapter where we see it happening twice. Jesus Christ was full of the Holy Ghost above measure. He is truly the member of the Godhead, the Son of God, but in the Son is the Holy Spirit, and in the Holy Spirit is the Father, and in the Father is the Son. These three are one God that make up everything, but they are three separate people. And Jesus Christ was full of the Holy Ghost above measure because he's the Son of God and he had that ability. So, with that being said, Samson had the Holy Spirit bestowed upon him most often. Jesus had the Holy Ghost above measure. Samson spoke in riddles. Jesus Christ spoke in parables. Samson was known as a Nazarite. Jesus was a Nazarene. And, you know, the Bible talks about the vow of a Nazarite has a lot to do with being separated for the things of God. Now, unfortunately, I don't know about you guys, but there is a group of people known as Rastas, or Rastafarian, or Rastafarian, or Black Hebrew Israelites. And there's a group of people that believe that the Nazarite vow of not cutting your hair is a tradition that you need to adhere to. Unfortunately, they didn't see that in the New Testament. It clearly differentiates between that vow in that time period and having long hair as a man. The Bible clearly says, does not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him? The Nazarite vow was for a small period of time. It was inevitably supposed to be done, and you were supposed to cut your hair and then go burn it on the altar. And Samson was one character who was a Nazarite from his birth. So Jesus Christ, you know, born in Nazareth, was a Nazarene. And all those teachings in the Nazarite vow have a lot to do with being sanctified or separated unto God. Because, you know, it is a shameful thing for a man to have long hair, right? And you're not supposed to eat of the vine or drink of the vine because you're trying to live that separate life. And Jesus Christ is known as a man of much sorrow because Samson and Nazarites were supposed to show people how to live a separated life to be pleasing unto God. It's kind of like when you fast. If you think about a fast, right? You're not fasting just to lose some weight. You're fasting so that you can be in prayer with God and have a deeper communication with God. But those are just some examples of how Samson and the Lord Jesus Christ are very closely related. Now look down at your Bible, if you would, at verse 6. Judges 14, verse 6. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. Right there, we see an example of the Spirit of God coming on Samson. And he rent him as he would have rent a kid in reference to the lion. And he had nothing in his hand, but he told not his father or his mother what he hath done. Now in this example, in this analogy right here, Samson pictures the Lord Jesus Christ. The lion represents Satan. Well, what do you mean by that? Well, elsewhere in the Bible, in 1 Peter 5:8, it reads, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." And in the beginning of this, or the ending of verse 5, it says, "And behold, a young lion, what? Roared against him." So we can see that the Bible is showing us that that lion right there represents Satan as a roaring lion, seeking who he could devour, like Samson. The Holy Ghost comes upon Samson, and he rips him up like he would rip up a kid. A kid is not a child, you guys. A kid is a baby goat, a little goat. So a goat is a very meek, mild animal that could easily be destroyed. And a lot of people don't understand that devil worshipers, people who worship Satan, actually worship and serve a goat. And a kid is a baby goat. So like Samson rips up a goat, he also is ripping up this lion. So we can see right there how Jesus Christ pictures, or Samson pictures Jesus Christ there. Because as it says in Genesis 3, right, the very first prophecy of Jesus Christ, as it says, you know, the seed of the woman shall conquer the serpent, and it'll bruise his heel, but, you know, the Son of Man will bruise his head. So we can see that that is a symbolism of Jesus Christ right there. Let's keep going. "And he went down and talked with the woman, and she pleased Samson well." And now notice this part right here. "And after a time, she returned to take her. And he turned aside to see the carcass of the lion, and behold, there was a swarm of bees and honey in the carcass of the lion. Now let's break this part down right here. Now the lion is representative of Jesus Christ. Wait a second, Dave. You just said the lion represented Satan in one scene. Now you're saying the lion represents the Lord Jesus Christ? That doesn't make any sense. Well, actually, if you look at what it's saying, right, when Samson goes back down after a time, right, it doesn't say exactly how long, but it just says after some time period when he goes back, there's a carcass of a lion. Did you know that Satan is known as the great counterfeiter, right? Meaning that anything that the Lord Jesus Christ does, Satan is going to try to mimic that, right? So in this situation right here, Jesus Christ is known as the Lion of the Tribe of Judah. And he truly is, you know, the lion that will destroy everyone, so to say. And it calls the lion's carcass something where there's a swarm of honey in. So Jesus Christ was dead for 3 days and three nights, right? And the Bible says, for instance, in light of that, Matthew 24:28, for wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together, in reference to Jesus Christ's body. Because remember in the Last Supper, Jesus said, this is my body, which is broken for you. This is my blood, which is the blood of the New Testament. So although Satan pictures the lion in one scene, now Jesus Christ is pictured of that carcass of that lion. And a lot of people hear that and they kind of bristle. They're like, wait, you can't compare Jesus and Satan to that one same character. Well, think of it like this. You know, the Bible says in John 3:14, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Wait a second. Jesus is symbolic of a snake? Isn't the snake, you know, Satan? No, Satan, he who knew no sin, he became sin for us, that we may be known as the righteousness of God in him. He took on the sins of the world. And that's why as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, that is symbolic of Jesus Christ taking on the sins of the world. Same way as this lion was slain for us, and his carcass is how we can understand salvation, as the body of Christ was buried for 3 days and three nights. And there are other examples of Satan trying to mimic the Lord Jesus Christ. Characters like Nebuchadnezzar are a good example. In one scene, Nebuchadnezzar will picture the Antichrist, you know, when he tells Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to go and, you know, worship an idol, and if not, they'll throw him in a fiery furnace. And then in the next scene, you know, Nebuchadnezzar actually pictures the Lord Jesus Christ because he's the head of gold in that statue found in the dream. And he is truly representing authority, and he has all power above the earth. So these are just some examples how, you know, if you hear somebody explain that, like, oh, Satan, or Jesus is represented as a serpent, don't bristle. Understand, there's a context to it. Well, Satan is known as a lion. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ is known as a lion. Context will tell you. Remember, look for Jesus. That's the right interpretation of the passage. Samson in the beginning could represent the soul winner when he's, you know, going and grabbing the honey out of the lion's carcass. And that's the next part I want to go into. The honey out of the lion's carcass. Turn, if you would, to Psalms 19. And leave a finger here because we'll come back here. Psalms 19. It's a very popular passage in the Bible, right? We've heard and read this passage a lot of times. But the honey in the carcass of the lion represents the word of God. The Bible says in Ezekiel 3:1, moreover, he said unto me, son of man, eat that thou findest. Eat this roll and go. Speak unto the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth, and he caused me to what? Eat that roll. He said unto me, son of man, cause thy belly to eat, and fill thy bowels with this roll that I give thee. Then did I eat it, and it was in my mouth, what? As honey for sweetness. This is the angel telling Ezekiel to eat the roll, or the word of God. And it says that it went into his mouth, what? Sweet as honey. It says in Revelation 10:9 of the apostle John, and I went unto the angel, and he said unto me, give me the little book. And he said unto me, take it and eat it up, and it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. And I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up, and it was in my mouth sweet as honey, And as soon as I ate it, my belly was bitter. And he said unto me, thou must prophesy again before many peoples and nations and tongues and kings. There are two examples of two different men in the Bible that when they are eating or consuming the word of God, remember earlier, kids, what we were learning about consuming through our mouth. If we eat the word of God and we consume it, it should be in our mouth sweet as honey. Now, some people, it's in their belly bitter. And I understand that there are things in the Bible that are hard to digest. And that's okay. We should realize that our God whom we serve, you know, he is the God of love, but he also is going to be just on the unsaved. And, you know, it's hard to preach a message of, you know, fire and damnation because, you know, we don't want people to die and go to hell, but the Lord Jesus Christ gave us a way out. And it's hard to bring that message to people sometimes. But in Psalm 19, this passage that we all like to read and quote from, it says in verse 7, Psalms 19:7, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. So the Bible is telling us that the law of the Lord, the words of God, are sweeter than honey. And we got to realize that when we read our Bibles, you know, this is a spiritual sweet. This is like spiritual candy. There's, you know, meats and potatoes and hard things to understand. But I love the word of God. And I don't know about you, but when I read the word of God, I get excited. And the Bible says, for instance, in Matthew 4:4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And more, as you would digest the word of God, you'll become, I guess, more sweet tooth towards the word of God. And you get more excited about proclaiming his truths. But back at Judges 14, we can see an example of how that carcass, in representing, you know, the dead body of Christ, Samson pulls something out of that carcass. He pulls out honey. This is a symbolic representation of the word of God. Because you got to remember, Jesus Christ says, unless you partake of the Lord's flesh, you shall not see everlasting life. And then notice what Samson does when he pulls the honey out of the carcass of the lion. Look at verse 9. And he took thereof in his hands and went on eating and came to his father and mother and he gave them and they did eat. But he told not them that he had taken the honey out of the carcass of the lion. Now, I don't recommend you pull any honey out of any dead animal and feed it to someone. As a matter of fact, don't do it. I know we just heard a sermon this morning about it's okay to have a little dirt on your food and eat with unwashed hands. Don't eat anything out of a carcass of an animal. But this is symbolic. Remember, where's Jesus? Where's the real interpretation of this message? Samson represents the soul winner. You know, he pulled out of the carcass the word of God and he gave it to his parents and they did eat. And we need to share the honey of the sweet word of God to the world and to a dying and lost nation, proclaiming the truth. And, you know, as time moves forward, we will find and renew our spirits daily as we read his word and consume it more and more. Let's look at verse 10. So his father went down unto the woman and Samson made there a feast. Used the young men to do. And it came to pass when they saw him that they brought 30 champions to be with him. I'm sorry, companions to be with him. And Samson said unto them, I will put forth a riddle. Because what's the title of this message this evening? Samson's riddle. I was all by way of introduction. Buckle up, you guys. We got some more time. No, I'm just playing. But simply, and Samson said unto them, I will put forth a riddle unto you. If ye can certainly declare it to me within the 7 days of the feast and find it out, then I will give you 30 sheets and 30 change of garments. But if ye cannot declare it to me, then shall ye give me 30 sheets and 30 change of garments. And they said unto him, put forth thy riddle that we may hear. Pause really quickly. Once again, Samson is not necessarily doing a good or right or righteous, wholesome thing by gambling. This is a form of gambling. He is trying to sway the people of the Philistines to get involved in this gamble so that he can get clothing out of it. Clothing was way more valuable back in the day. And elsewhere in the beginning of the passage, it talks about he did this because it was of God to do this. Now, that's not saying God told him to gamble. It's saying that he went to go find an occasion with the Philistines to destroy the nation of Philistine because they were wicked, horrible people amongst the Lord. And remember, he was supposed to be that great deliverer that would do it. So he utilizes this bad situation to get a good thing out of it, like destroying these people. So don't try to, you know, two wrongs don't make a right. But if you do make mistakes in your life, like gambling, or drug use, or alcohol, or fornication, or whatever it is you've messed up in your life, understand, forsake, leave those things which are behind and press them to the mark of the high calling which is in Christ Jesus. The Lord Jesus Christ can still use you, but you have to be willing to forsake those things which are behind. Goes on to read in verse 14, and he said unto them, out of the eater came forth meat, and out of the strong came forth sweetness. And they could not, in how many days? 3 days, expound the riddle. Oh, that's a unique number. 3 days? Wasn't the Lord Jesus Christ dead for 3 days and three nights? As Jonas was in the whale of the belly for 3 days and three nights, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. So here's another example. We can see where these guys are trying to bring, you know, the riddle to him, and they couldn't do it in 3 days. Just a little side note. I thought that was interesting. And look at verse 15. And it came to pass on the seventh day that they said unto Samson's wife. Can't get to Samson, so let's go after his wife. Entice thy husband that he may declare unto us the riddle, lest we burn thee in thy father's house with fire. Have ye called us to take that we have? Is it not so? And Samson's wife wept before him and said, thou dost but hate me and lovest me not. Thou hast put forth a riddle unto the children of my people and hast not told it me. And he said unto her, behold, I have not told it my father or my mother, and shall I tell it thee? I'll pause there really quickly. We got to have some sympathy on Samson's wife in this situation. You got to understand that this is a kind of unique scenario, and it's easy for people to look at this and be like, ah, she's being soft, she's being weak, she should have never, like, you know, enticed Samson. But, you know, they're threatening to kill her and her family, so you can understand that that's a hard thing to go through. But Samson wants her to have faith in him and to trust that what he's doing will help them. And once again, we're going to find some symbolism in this. Look down at verse 18. And the men of the city said unto him, I'm sorry, verse 17. And she wept before him the 7 days while their feast lasted. And it came to pass on the seventh day that he told her, because she lay sore upon him, and she told the riddle to the children of her people. And the men of the city said unto him on the seventh day, before the sun went down, what is sweeter than honey, and what is stronger than a lion? And he said unto them, if ye had not plowed with my heifer, ye had not found out my riddle. That seems pretty harsh to say about your wife. If you have not plowed with my heifer, then you shouldn't have found out this riddle. That's just a older way of saying, if you didn't work with my servant, then you wouldn't have figured this out. But, you know, men, don't call your wives heifers if they expound your riddles to people. That's kind of messed up. And, you know, the answer to the riddle that was proposed is, what is sweeter than honey and what is stronger than a lion? And I'm going to propose to you this afternoon the answer to that riddle. Because notice there's two question marks there, right? Remember the game Jeopardy? How, like, they always answer things with a question? I can't think of a good analogy. There's usually, like, a board of, like, different scenarios, and it's like, sports or, you know, cars or, you know, farming. And it's like they'll ask you a question and you got to answer it in the form of a question. You know, how do beets grow? Or I don't know, whatever their answers would be to their questions. But it's always ended in a form of a question. Now, I'm going to give you what I believe to be the answer of the riddle. Because that is the answer from their perspective at that time, right then, right there. Because he went and killed that lion, and he pulled honey out of the carcass of that lion. But remember, where's Waldo? Where's the Lord Jesus Christ? What is sweeter than honey? The Word of God. What is stronger than a lion? The Lord Jesus Christ. What's the answer to Samson's riddle? Jesus Christ. That's the answer to the riddle. And this is important because there is a group, faction of people that God does not want to be saved. And we need to acknowledge this truth. And this story was supposed to show that there are some people that do not or should not or cannot know these truths. Turn, if you would, to Matthew chapter 10. And let me show you what I mean. Matthew chapter 10 is from the Lord Jesus Christ telling us clearly that there are a group of people that he does not want to know the riddle, the truth. And it says in Matthew chapter 10, verse 9. I'll let you guys get there. Matthew 10, verse 9. Oh, no, unfortunately, I have the wrong passage, don't I? Well, yeah, I have the wrong passage. But in the Bible, it talks about, and there are a group of people, the Pharisees, the Sadducees. You got to think about Pharaoh, right? These people who have God as hard in their heart, the sons of Belial, that when they reject the Lord rejects them. And in doing so, he says, eyes that you cannot see, ears that you cannot hear, so that you can be converted and I should heal you. Jesus Christ does not want everyone to be saved. And as soon as you swallow that truth, as hard as it is to imagine, you know, his ways are not our ways. And as his thoughts are not our thoughts, so is the heaven above the earth. So his thoughts are above our thoughts. And we got to remember that as we go around soul winning, there may be some people who are trying to figure out the riddle that God does not want to know or how to be saved. And that is truly by faith alone in the Lord Jesus Christ. It says in Acts 10:43, to him gave all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. And Samson is that character that we can point to in the Bible who in a way looks and acts as a soul winner through pulling out the honey out of the carcass of the lion, feeding it to his parents. And then in doing so, he goes and does not want to show a certain group of people the answer to the riddle, which was Jesus Christ. So the answer to Samson's riddle simply was Jesus. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this evening. Thank you so much for allowing us to hear your word preached. Thank you so much for this church. All the brothers and sisters here, help fill us with your word and to help fill us with the Holy Spirit and help us all get home safely. And just thank you for this opportunity. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
All right, let's go ahead and pull out our hymnals and let's turn to song number 343. 343, Revive Us Again. So 343, Revive Us Again. I'm going to sing nice and loud. Again, all glory.
dismissed. You have a blessed evening.